Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the Couch GM podcast. Really excited for today's episode as I have on Ty Pete, who is a shortstop in the Seattle Mariners organization, was a first round draft pick in the 2023 MLB draft. We have a great conversation talking through his upbringing, how he got into baseball, how he got into various other sports, as well as getting into a bit of what he does off the field, including streaming to Twitch and other social medias. If you'd like to support the Couch GM brand, make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. I'll have a link in the description of this video that takes you to all of my social medias. I also have Couch GM merch available. On that link is also the Glance LED panel. If you're a sports fan, highly recommend it for your home office. Use discount code COUCHGM for 10% off and it'll help support the brand. Also, if you didn't know, I'm a mortgage loan originator during the day. So if you're thinking of buying, selling, or refinancing, reach out to me as well. And with that, let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome to the Couch GM podcast. I'm excited for today's conversation as today we have on Ty Pete, who is a first-round draft pick for the Seattle Mariners in the 2023 MLB draft. So first off, Ty, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I want to get into, you know, your year, the MLB draft, something about your streaming, but let's start back with your growing up. And so how did you get into sports in general? How did you find that passion with baseball? Walk us through your upbringing.
Yeah, so sports in general, you know, I grew up in an athletic family. So my dad, he played college basketball, played baseball too. So I always played sports. My first sport was actually golf. Started golfing when I was about 2 years old. And then I picked up baseball, which then I picked up basketball and then soccer. So I played all sports, but my main two sports was golf. It was golf and baseball. And I started picking up basketball. So then I dropped golf because it like started messing up my baseball swing. So I played those two, basketball and baseball, for till my sophomore year. That's when I stopped playing basketball. That's when I started playing baseball full time because my dad made me play a different sport just so I didn't get tired out of baseball. Makes sense. So yeah. Started doing that. And then after, I told my dad, I was like, look, like I'm playing baseball for good. Cause I never liked basketball. I only played basketball just because like it was fun for a little bit, but like organized basketball is not what I like to do. But then since then I just started playing baseball, kept playing, and now I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely. So growing up, was there a certain team that you idolized or watched? Any players that you tried to kind of make your game after?
Yeah, so I was actually a huge Angels fan, like a massive Angels fan. And I was always a Trout fan. Anderson Simmons, Justin Upton, all those guys. So like that was my team. It's really hard to be an Angels fan, but I was an Angels fan. And then after I got drafted, I was like, you know, I can't be an Angels fan anymore.
In the division.
Yeah, but every day it got harder to be an Angels fan. That's like the hardest. People ask me, like, you know, what's the hardest thing you've done? It's probably being an Angels fan.
That's awesome. So were there any shortstops in particular? You mentioned Mike Trout. Were there any shortstops?
So that was growing up, but like right now, my favorite player for around about since I was like 11 years old has been Lindor. Francisco Lindor has been my favorite player. I went to, for my 12th birthday, my mom took me to a Angels game. And I was so excited, but it was in Ohio when we watched Cleveland. And once I saw Lindor play, like after that day or after that game, like I was a Lindor fan for a long time.
Is it his fielding ability, his switch hitting ability?
It's kind of how he plays. Yeah. I kind of watch how he plays loose, how he has fun. I still have never met him, so that's like on my bucket list. I just want to like sit down and talk to him. But he's my biggest fan. Big fan.
There you go. So you start playing baseball. Obviously, you play, it sounds like, every sport. I see in your vlogs, you got the golf bag in the trunk there. So walk us through, you know, growing up through baseball. When, at what point did you start to see that, hey, this might be something that you could do long term? And then also go over the 2018 Little League World Series that you were a part of.
Yeah. So when I was like 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, that's when I really wanted to like focus on baseball, just because I knew, like, you know, this, I never had the intentions of just playing for fun. Like, whenever I play something, like, I want to do it, like I want to be like good at it. Like, I don't want to like just play for fun. So, baseball has always been like my main setting goal. Just golf is, that's what I do for fun, but I still don't want to be bad. But the World Series, that was when it like first opened up, where I was like, whoa, like, okay, this is a lot different. Especially like a little kid, I was like 12 years old playing in front of thousands of people at the time, which I thought it was only thousands of people. I didn't know that many people watched it on like TV and stuff. So it was a lot different. So when I got back home, you know, people were like, whoa, like, congratulations. And I was like, congratulations, what? Like, do you know I went? But I guess it was a huge thing. And it's always been a huge thing. Like, now I know, like, yeah, it's pretty big. Everyone watches it. So that's when I kind of like realized, all right, maybe I should have done a little bit better, first of all. But second, I realized, like, okay, a lot of people watch this sport, and I can really make something out of this. So, you know, my impact on people, that's kind of what I want to do. I want to impact kids my age, because when I was watching the game, you know, I'd watch these older guys play, and I realized I literally watch every step they do. Like, my little brother, he watches everything I do. So for little kids to do the same thing to me, I want to really impact them.
Absolutely. That's great. So after, you know, Little League, you were only 12 years old at that time. You know, you have a lot of room for development moving forward. At what point did you get into travel ball and those next levels?
Yeah. I've been playing travel ball for a while. So I'm about 8 years old, 8, 9 years old. That's really when everything like kind of started. But I've been playing travel ball for a long time. And then I went to my I played for the South Dakota Tribe when I was like 11, like 10, 11, 12. And then 13U, I went to home plate, which is by my house. And then from then, that's when we started travel. I really started traveling 12 years old. We went to New York, Vegas, like all these like crazy places playing baseball. That's kind of when it was like super competitive. And that's when I had my desires, like I'm not going to college for this. I'm not going, like, my goal is to get to the top. Like, this is my goals and I'm going to do this. So that's, you know, that's when teachers would ask me, like, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a major league baseball player. Like, it was never like, it was like, I'm going to be, cause that was my goal.
Absolutely. So at what point did you start to realize that, hey, you're one of the best players on the field? And then at what point did you start to see those scouts show up and have people talk to you and start to see that you might be getting some, you know, attention nationally?
Yeah. Well, realize the best player on the field, I still don't even know if I'm still like, that might, like, having the mentality where, like, there's always gonna be someone better than you, so you just gotta keep chasing. But when I realized the scouts, I didn't realize until like sophomore year, junior year. Like, I never looked in the stands. But I get calls. That's when I started getting calls for like my recruiting process and stuff. And they'd be like, yeah, you know, we see you play. I'm like, what? When did you see me play? Like, when? And they're like, yo, we're always watching. So my dad would always be like, you know, you never know who's watching you. So that was real. Like, I really didn't know who was watching. But apparently, you know, there's a lot of guys in the stands now. I think my senior year of high school is when I really started, like, focusing in and turning it on, just having fun. Like, I didn't really care at that point. It was almost like, I'm just here to play. Like, I'm not here to, like, impress.
Yeah. And I mean, those scouts, they even watch you warming up pregame to see what right. kind of guy you are on the field, off the field. At what point did you start to hit that growth spurt to where, I mean, it looked like in high school you got up to like 93 miles an hour on the mound, maybe even higher than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I hit 95. I hit 95 at Team USA, like a Team USA thing.
Man.
But then I don't even like pitching. Like, I don't even like pitching. I just got up there and threw. Like, that's when I started developing pitches, though. I started throwing a sinker, a cutter, a slider, stuff like that. But like, I never like really enjoyed pitching. I always was a hitter. Like, mm-hmm. hitter is what I wanted to do. So started. That's high school was fun. Like, It's because if my team need help, like, I'll get up there and throw. That's fine. But I never want to be, like, become a PO or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it was fun because, like, you can do both. Like, it wasn't, like, a restriction. Like, if I wanted to get up there and throw, I can get up there and throw. If I wanted to hit, I can hit, like, lead off, whatever I wanted. Like, it was fun.
And so I'm with my friends. How did you learn those different pitches? Did you utilize YouTube and other resources like that? Or was it guys on your team that you looked at?
We have a pitching coach, but it was mainly like just watching people. Like, I would watch Stroman pitch. Like, that's who I would model, like, my kind of, like, I guess, I don't even know what it is for baseball. For hitting, it'd be like stance.
Yeah.
That's how much I don't know about pitching. Yeah, motion. Yeah. So I would model it after Stroman, and I would just kind of watch how he grips the ball. Like, that was a video where he, like, showed all of his, like, pitch grips, and I was like, oh, yes. So I'd watch all the grips. I started throwing a sinker after I started watching him, his follow through, and I'm pretty good boys with his brother Jaden. So it was just cool. I was like, you know, like, I modeled my pitching after him, and then I stopped pitching, and then I just modeled baseball, like, my swings. That's what I do. All I do is watch videos of other players hit, watch even like some righties, like, it might not even look, I just watch the look at mechanics and stuff.
Definitely. And yeah, I mean, Stroman, he's got balls moving every which way, that sinker, cutter, everything. Being a two-way athlete, shortstop and pitcher, those are both two positions to where you use a lot of your body. I'm curious if there was any potential drawbacks or any benefits to being a two-way player throughout high school. You know, like, if you pitched one day, how many days do you have to have off, if any, at shortstop?
So that was the worst part, I think, for me personally, just because, you know, I never got to play the field. Like, summer ball, my coach was really, like, he was really fragile with my arm, which I really appreciate that. But, you know, he would say, okay, you can pitch the first bracket game, but you're not playing the game before or the game after that. Like, you're not throwing the game before or after. So I would just hit. Like, the game before, the game after, and if we lose, we're done. Like, then I didn't even get to play the field at all. So, like, I would just pitch, like, first game of bracket, or I'd pitch, like, the first pool game and then not play the game after that or the game after that just to get my arm a rest. So that's where I was like, hey, you know what, I'm done. Like, my senior year, I was like, I'm not pitching because I want to play the field. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be a PODH. That's what they call me, a PODH. I don't want to be a PODH. So I played the field my senior year. And some scouts were like, oh, like, you can play the field. I was like, yeah, that's what I mainly do. But I enjoyed it because I enjoy pitching still. It's competitive up there. But man, hitting is just, that's a whole different thing. Like,
upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. That's where I enjoy.
Awesome. And then, so, you know, you start getting recruited throughout high school. At what point do you commit to Georgia Tech and take that next step?
Yeah, so I committed my sophomore year. My sophomore year was kind of the opening point where, you know, I realized all these guys are watching, and I realized kind of it wasn't pressure, but, you know, it wasn't just I was not playing with anything on my shoulder. But I committed because technology there at Tech, that could have, like, I think if I went to Tech, it would have put me in a place where I would have gotten stronger. I would have understood my swing better than ever. The coaching staff, Ramsey, Coach Hall, like, I had a really close relationship with them. So I think it would have been a great place, but still, like, that wasn't my goal. But Georgia Tech, that's why I committed, because, and it was accessible. Like, everything they had, all the technology they had was unbelievable.
Absolutely. And then, so you play for Team USA?
Yeah. No, I did the PDP, and then I made trials, but then I couldn't go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, walk me through the MLB Combine, that entire process, you know, the workouts, the interviews, just that experience in general.
Yeah, that was fun. So that was fun, and I enjoyed kind of everything. I had my expectations going, and it just, like, it was way better. It was more fun. Like, the experience was better. like the actual baseball was a normal combine, but like the experience of going to that and seeing, you know, all my guys, all like my baseball like boys. And you know, I had the thought like I've always been big into like making videos and stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make a video like behind the scenes. I didn't even know what was happening. So I was like, it's kind of like, it was literally like behind the scenes. Like I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I ended up making that video and then it went pretty viral. Like everyone enjoyed it. So I think it was like, it was fun because people got to see what I saw, you know, and people got to see like kind of what I did in the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's always cool, you know, as a fan to be able to see behind the scenes. And then for all of the younger kids that are growing up playing baseball, you know, striving to make it to the next level, to be able to see what that looks like is pretty cool. So,
right.
How did you get into creating videos, and are there any inspirations that you're trying to go after?
So I've literally always been like a technology, like I've always loved videos and editing videos and stuff like that. But I just never had like the audience to do it for, you know, I never had like the time to kind of sit down and try to grind that out, but it's a grind, dude. I'm watching these guys, like it's a grind.
It is.
So yeah. I started streaming. I've always streamed, but like streamed with nobody, just because like I would only stream like a couple of people that I played with. But now like I'm streaming and, you know, I'm playing with a bunch of guys, letting them ask questions. I'll answer whatever questions they have, like kind of the process. Because when I was a kid, I didn't have anyone to ask questions to. So I would just try to like scroll as far as I can, like looking up these videos, looking up days in the life, looking up kind of what they like do and stuff. So yeah. Now that like I feel like I'm given the opportunity, like, and it's fun for me to answer those questions, because mm-hmm. like I remember when I was a kid and I had those questions, like it's fun to actually answer the questions of these guys. And sometimes like I'll open up my game and I'll play with them, and play with other people while I'm answering other questions. Like I'm enjoying it all. My best friends are too, they play with me too. But I think it's great. And you know, the reason why I'm doing all these videos is because, like I said, like when I was a kid, I would always look for these type of videos. Like
exactly.
I would always look like, what do these guys really do, or what is it really like? So I'm trying to produce that so kids can realize, like, you know, what it is, and maybe it'll motivate them a little bit more to reach their goals.
That's great. Do you just stream on Twitch, or have you tried YouTube Lives?
I haven't tried YouTube Live, but I stream on Twitch and TikTok.
Okay.
Just because those are two platforms which I know pretty well.
Yeah.
But I could start looking at YouTube Live, but I feel like I'm trying to keep my YouTube kind of like baseball related.
Yeah.
I don't want to path off and like gaming and stuff, but I really enjoy it because I play a lot of video games. Like my whole family, girlfriend, dude, I play a lot of video games. So I was like, you know what? While I'm playing these video games, why don't I just like stream to people? So like I can still play and like I can answer these questions at the same time.
Yeah. All right. What's your top three games?
OG Fortnite. Not now Fortnite. I hate now Fortnite. OG Fortnite, and then MLB The Show, obviously, just because, you know, I play with my card, it's fun.
There you go.
But then right now, dude, GTA 5, I'm trying to get hyped up back for GTA 6.
Yeah, that'd be cool when it comes out.
Dude, GTA 6 can be crazy.
Now, getting back to that process before the draft, I see on one of your videos that you were friends with Johnny Formello beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was my roommate.
That relationship? Yeah.
So Johnny was my roommate in Team USA, the PDP thing. We were there for about 2.5 weeks in Cary, North Carolina, in the middle of nowhere. Like we were in a hotel together, and we first met. We actually first met back in a tournament where he played with the Canes team. We played against each other. We met, and then we met at the hotel. We became really close in that 2 weeks. Like those 2 weeks, we became really, really close friends. We kept in touch. And then after like the draft night, there was this guy on Twitter. He was leaking all of them. Like, I don't know how his name is Joe Doyle. Everyone probably
knows
Joe Doyle.
He's a big leaked all guy. Of
them. Like, he got them all so fast, like 10 minutes maybe before the pick. So after I got picked, because I knew when I got picked around the Braves pick, I think it was like the 21st pick or something. Joe Doyle like tweeted out that Johnny got picked to the Mariners. And I was like, what? So I went crazy. Me and my dad were going crazy because we both knew that we were already close. So I called Johnny and he didn't answer because we were both like
on the phone with an agent.
But But afterwards I called him and he answered and he was like, bro, no way. Cause he didn't know. He didn't know that I got picked until after he saw, and his dad went crazy. So then like once we got to Seattle, or once we got to Arizona, dude, we like immediately roomed in. We've been rooming for about 4 months now, 4 or 5 months. But that's my boy. Like, that's actually like my boy. He came and got my car with me. I think I'm actually in a few weeks, I might go up there and visit him, work out with him for about a week before we go back out in Arizona. But yeah, we've all gotten so close. Me, Colt, Aiden, and Johnny, like, we've all like gotten really close. So like that bond that we all have, like, we do everything together.
Yeah. So walk me through, you know, you get drafted, you can go through the draft day, what that looked like for you specifically. And then after the fact, you know, you get drafted, do they fly you out to Seattle the next day? And what's that entire experience like?
Yeah. So draft day, me, my best friend from home, my dad and my dad's best friend, my godfather, they were all here and we all went out to golf actually in the morning. We golfed, we played 18, up until like 4 o'clock. And then we ended up going back home. I think I hit that morning too. So I hit the morning, golfed, and then got back home. And I just kind of wanted to be chill. Like, I don't want everyone to be at my house, like all these expectations. And then I didn't go where I wanted to, or, you know, I just wanted like my close friends. So I had two of my best friends. I had just my intermediate, like immediate family. And I sat in my dad's office the whole time. Like, I was like, I wasn't stressed, but I was just like, can we get this over with? Like,
just anxious.
The picks were going by so slow. And I was waiting, like, I didn't want to call. I was expecting, like, my agents told me I was expecting a call around like the 15th, 16th, like the 20th pick. Like, that's when I was expecting a call.
Okay.
And I was like, it got to like the 17th, and I was like, I'm not even getting drafted. It's done. And then after like, I would every single text, I would like check my phone so fast. And I thought it was going to be like in the movies, like, you know, how, like, you know, how it pops up like the logo. I thought it was, I don't know why. So when I got a call from my agent, I was like, bro, this isn't the guy I was looking for. And I answered, and he was like, you know what? He was like, hey, you ready to go for more than $7? And I was like, yeah. So we made the call. It was me and my two best friends in the room when I got the call. Told me like who I was going to. And that's who I wanted to go to. Like, I wanted to go to the Mariners because they were my top team. And like, my mom's a massive like Ichiro fan and huge Griffey fan. So yeah. I think my mom was probably the most happy out of all of us. But and I just love, like, I love everyone in the organization. So being able to get that call, I could say it's a little bit lucky for me just because, like, I got where I wanted. Like, I wanted to go here, and like, I finished my goal, and my goal is to go at this team. So awesome. Just kind of going through it all, like, it was amazing. Like, I didn't believe it until I heard the name. Like, I wasn't like, okay,
it's on my TV.
Yeah. And then once I saw my little like mugshot picture, I was like, dang, like, this is crazy. Cause I was, and my phone started blowing up. Like, people I didn't even know watch baseball were like, well, congratulations. Like, I just saw you on TV. I was like, what are you doing watching this? Like, but it was cool, man. Like, coaches, friends from school, teachers, stuff like that. Like, it was pretty cool. And after that, I wanted to leave now. Like, I wanted to leave that day just so I can go out and see what it looked like. And I think I left like 4 days after. Okay. Went to Seattle, packed my bags. I packed everything. Like, I packed for Arizona. So okay. I went to Seattle. And what an experience. Like, it was crazy. I got my favorite part was actually talking to the players. Like, it wasn't like seeing the big tower, you know, that massive tower. Yeah. It wasn't like seeing that. Yeah. That was terrifying. Going up there, it wasn't that. The fish market was cool, but the gum wall was disgusting. But everything was cool. But just talking to the players, I talked to Colton Wong for a while. I talked to Julio. I talked to JP. So like, I feel like that was cool. And the coolest part for me though was the fans, like seeing the fans on the street. Like, they knew who I was, and like, they knew like why I was there. That was pretty cool.
And then, was that the first time stepping on a field, on a major league field, or have you done that before?
Nah, so I hit in Truist, Tropicana. Like, I hit all these big league fields just like because it was like pro workouts.
Gotcha.
But that was the first time I was in like the Seattle field. Yeah.
Yeah.
In T-Mobile, but that was crazy. T-Mobile's huge. It's crazy.
Yeah, and seeing that skyline in the background, you know, the Seahawks play right across the street. It's a great city. It's really cool up there.
Yeah, I got like a picture of like the skyline above my bed. Yeah,
awesome. So yeah, So you get up there to Seattle, you start to talk with Colt and with Johnny. Are there any players that you've been in touch with after the fact, major league players that have kind of bounced ideas off of you or you've gotten advice from?
Yeah, I talked to Julio a lot. We play video games together.
Okay.
And then I talked to, I think, Julio, and then Logan Gilbert reached out to me, just kind of like congratulating me and telling me motivational stuff. But other than that, kind of just kind of been with the other players and like the other affiliates and stuff.
Yeah.
But me, Colt, Johnny, and Aiden, like we literally hung out with each other like every single day for the past like 10 weeks. Like we golf. So Aiden's a scratch golfer. So we just pick him up on our team.
What's your handicap?
Not Aiden. I think I'm plus, I'm like 84, 85.
Okay. That's solid. But
Aiden's like he'll go out. Guys, I haven't golfed in so long. 70, 79, like 78s. I'm like, all right, bro. But yeah. I'm just trying to, like, that's my thing. If I wasn't a pro baseball player, like, I wanted to be a pro golfer because that'd be so sick. Oh, that'd be so cool to be good at golf.
Yeah. And I mean, with the baseball season, you're able to, during the off season, you can go down to Arizona. You could still golf around pretty much year round. So,
dude, Arizona golf is crazy. So much different than Georgia golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So walk me through, you leave Seattle, you head down to Arizona for rookie ball. What's that first experience?
Yeah. So I think that's when I realized like kind of the bus ride to the airport to Arizona. I was like, whoa, like I kind of just like left my entire family, like my little brother, dude, he had no idea like what was happening. So like having to leave my little brother, my dad, all that. I was like, you know what? It's fine. Like I'm going to see them a couple months, but then after I left, I was like, dang. But then like, once I got there, I was like, all right. Like I'm here to play baseball. It's whatever.
Yeah.
So I see my locker. And I immediately, I was like, all right, let's start going. We got to start playing now. And, me, Colt, we were anxious for like 2 weeks. Cause like they didn't activate us. They had to like, let us like kind of get back in the groove. Cause we haven't played in like months, but I was like, I don't care. Get me out there. Like, let me face somebody. So it was cool. Like the whole experience, ACL ball, playing in front of like literally nobody, like that. I think that was the best part, like playing just in front of nobody. Fields. Yeah, like just kind of playing baseball. But once I stepped in front of fans, it was so cool. Like I've never played in front of like that many people other than like the World Series, like people that actually interested in baseball. Mm-hmm. Like that's my like affiliates, like the minor leagues, like people are actually interested in baseball. So being able to like play in front of these guys that know kind of what they're watching, and now all these things are coming out, like these my cards and stuff. It's like, it's crazy seeing my cards in stores, and like, it's like all like a dream come true. So now I just gotta keep playing on and just kind of keep going up through the ranks and stuff.
Yeah. I've always been curious. I actually collect some sports card myself. At what point do they drag you into a room and hand you a Sharpie and say, hey, sign 100 of these cards?
It's not even 100, dude. It's 1,000. Like
1,000.
I signed 1,000 about 2 weeks ago with Tops, and he sat right in my living room upstairs, and I was like, let's get it over with. Signed 1,000 right there. Finished about like an hour and a half. But
wow,
they send like little stickers. So it's like little stickers. This is for like different deals, like Panini and Leaf and stuff. And you got to sign those little tiny stickers. And there's like about 5,000 of them, and it's just like constant. And you got to do it. I finished it over spans of weeks because we were in playoffs. So I was like, I can't get this done like while I'm in playoffs right now. So yeah. I would do it after playoffs, and it's like a folder. It's like you're in school again. Like basically, I was like my girlfriend, she's in college right now. She's like, I have all this homework. I was like, I got to sign 5,000 little tiny stickers. And dude, it's like basically I'm in school again. But it's fun though, because like you know what, like you know what's happening. Like I know like this little sticker is going to go on a card, and it's going to be pretty cool. Or like I know that I'm signing an actual card that's my like my players on it. Like it's sick.
Yeah. So did you think through your signature? Like, you know, when I become a big league player or a baseball player, I want my signature to look like this, or was it just kind of whatever you had that day?
I had my signature like done when I was in like my sophomore year. Like I would sit in the back of like Spanish class and just like write like my signature, and I would just go through so many, but I just copied what my dad did. Like my dad has the same, he does EP, so I just did TP. And then for like I had to get it quicker. Like it could not be that long. So I just do TP now. Just because, and that's what people call me. People call me TP.
Okay.
So it's just easier, and it doesn't look too bad. So I'd rather have a car that looks good than like it's just like some sloppy like T or whatever. But I like it, and I've had it for a while. So
whatever gets you through those 5,000 as quick as possible.
I might just start doing one solid line across all five.
There you go. Just a line. Yeah.
Just one solid line.
So you get into rookie ball in Arizona. You go through that experience, then you get promoted up to Modesto. What was it like heading up to Modesto and that level of competition? Did you see a difference there?
Yeah, definitely. I think the most difference was the fans. Obviously, it was like there's nobody in ACL, but then you step in Modesto and people know who you are, and people have these high expectations for you. But it's definitely difference. Like we got the call, or it wasn't even a call. It was like a meeting. So we met with our manager. He was like, yeah, you guys are going to Modesto. We're like, dang, all right. An hour later, our flight was like an hour later. And I was like, I have nothing packed. Like me and Cole were scrambling for stuff. He was like, Cole came in my room. He was like, yo, we're leaving like an hour. I was like, what? So we left and we landed there, got in a hotel. And that next day we were out on the field. We sat that game. And then the next day we played. And from there we won like 26 games in a row. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah, it was like unbelievable. Like I didn't even think. I was just like, is this supposed to be like happening? Like that was because our first thing was San Jose. We played San Jose. Our second game we faced like Joe Ross, like six-time All-Star. And we're like, okay. Like, all right. And then we faced Dylan Cummins our first game, which didn't he like some crazy story about him just happened like yesterday. But I think he said it's like,
is that
yeah,
the
like
guy robbed who got like, gun car accident?
Yeah, no,
he was robbed, like, he was gunpoint. Robbed at gunpoint.
Yeah.
And then that guy got in a crash.
Yeah. Dylan did. So that's crazy. But we faced him my first AB. That was my first AB. And then after that, played six series or like four series, end up winning the championship game. Now we go back out next March or next April. It was crazy, dude. Playoffs is like I've never experienced anything like that. That was crazy because you know I've had playoff baseball, like high school baseball, but you know, it's just the moms and the aunts and uncles, like that was cool. Like I enjoyed that.
Awesome. Yeah, that energy really thriving off of that and playing into your game.
Yeah.
So then you go through that spot. Well, actually, we have to go back a second. Of course, we have to talk about grand slams and back-to-back innings. What was that like?
We were down like eight. We were down like eight, I think. Or it might have been seven. And I was in a bad – I couldn't find my swing. I just broke my bat. I was upset. I was like, that was because I broke my Rawlings bat, which at the time I was using like a Rawlings, like the one I got from like PG All American. So I broke that, gave it to like some old lady in the stands. And then I came back and I didn't know what the score was. Like I was just focusing on like kind of getting a barrel. I swung at first pitch and like barreled it. And I was like, oh, that's gone. Like that's way gone. So I was like, okay, it's my first home run. I didn't even think that. I was just thinking, let me just get around the bases. Like, we need to put some more runs up. So after I got back, Cole was like, dude, you mashed that. So after went back in the dugout, was talking to Aiden for a little bit, went to the locker room, put a pack of seeds in my mouth, came back out, and I was up again. I was like, oh, I'm on deck. So went back on deck. No idea. I had no idea it was bases loaded. All my manager said was just put the ball in play. Mm-hmm. So first pitch, they took out a righty, put a lefty in for me. And I went back, looked at the book. All I saw was he threw like 90% sliders. I was like, all right, I'm just going to sit on a slider. First pitch, I just swung. I just swung. I literally saw it float in and I just swung, put a swing on it. I had no idea where the ball went, which is funny. I had no idea where the ball went. Like I thought it was like center field, like maybe like a little like line drive. I didn't know it went right field. And then I heard Bryce Eldridge in right field, like, tracking for the wall. So I was like, whoa. So I started running. And then it was gone. The umpire was like, it's gone. And I was like, what? I was like, what?
Was that – have you hit a grand slam in the past? Or were those your first?
Yeah. Okay. No, I've hit grand slams, which I think in an interview after that, I said I've never hit two home runs in a game, which is a lie because I hit two home runs in high school. like in against like one of our rival teams. I completely forgot about that. I literally had nothing. I was so shocked at what happened, but people were. I didn't think it was a big of a deal, because I thought people like I thought that was like a not like a normal thing, but I knew like it's been done before.
You but don't see that every day, that back to back innings.
I also see that's the thing. I didn't know it was back to back innings. I thought it was like I thought it was the inning after.
Gotcha.
But dude, I was just trying to like I'm not gonna say I wasn't in the game, but I was just trying to focus like on barreling a ball. Because the score was like 8-2. And then we won the game. And then we like went on to win like 20 more, which is insane. But yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And then like people started calling me. I think I had a call. My manager was like, "Hey, you got a call with like Sports Illustrated." I was like, "What? Did they even find out this fast?"
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that doesn't happen every day, and especially you know the first one was off a righty. I think that was to left center.
Yeah,
left center. Lefty comes in, hangs a breaking ball first pitch. You take it over right field. That kind of brings me to another question. You know, the whole handiness thing to where they always try to pitch lefties versus lefties, or they bring in a righty versus a righty.
Yeah.
Do you see that as a difference at the plate?
I used to.
Okay.
I used to. And it used to be, I feel like it's like a mental thing. Like physically, yeah, it comes at a different angle, but it's like a mental thing. Like you start hearing like, "Oh, lefty, lefty's impossible" when you're a kid. So like that, it'll get in your head and it gets in your head fast. Cause it got in my head when, like my junior year, it got in my head bad. And I could not hit a lefty to save my life. Like, it was just all mental. But don't get me wrong. Like, there are some lefties. There was a lefty for the Rockies that we faced. It's impossible. Like, he was, like, coming from behind us. So, like, we couldn't have hit it. Like, his arm slot was, like, on the left of us. So, I was like,
yeah.
This didn't even look right. So, but there are some guys that, like, and it – I think it is harder. Like, people say, like, righty-righty is the same thing. No, not even close. Like, it's not, but there is a difference. But it's all mental. Like, it really is. Like, righty righty, you grew up seeing that, but you didn't grow up seeing lefty lefty. I think that's why people think it's like different. But it is different. Like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah. Well, clearly didn't slow you down on that one.
Right.
So heading into 2024, what's your main focus for development? If there is anything in particular that you're trying to focus on?
Explosiveness, agility, and definitely my speed. I'm just trying to up the speed as fast as I can. I got hopped down it by Johnny last camp, just playing this little like catch the flag game, hawked me down. So I can't let that happen again. But I just got to get faster. I got to get more explosive. And I think maintaining my swing, if that makes sense, like kind of keeping my same swing and my same mechanics. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of it. I used to have a problem where I would change my swing a lot, or I would see someone that, you know, someone's swing's working, I would try to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
Especially with the older guys like Harper, Seager, you know, all these guys. It's harder because I don't know what they're thinking. Like I can imitate their swing. I can definitely show you what their swing looks like. But I don't know what they're thinking mentally. So I'll never be able to perfect their swing. I only know what I'm thinking mentally. So being able to perfect my own swing is what I'm trying to do. And definitely just kind of pathway you. Like, you'll never perfect anything, but just kind of path. Like, you can definitely path your way there, you know, brick by brick, just kind of taking it slow and keep doing the same thing. Consistency is key, you know?
Yeah. And it's all a timing thing. So one guy can be doing something, and a lot of a person's swing is based off of the timing.
You
know, what gets their swing going when the pitcher is at a certain point.
Exactly.
So whatever works best for you. Yeah. So let's get into a few fans from the questions. You saw that I posted on Instagram the other day asking some people. So what size glove do you field with, and what size of bat do you swing?
Yeah. Oh, so my glove, I actually just I'm working with Rawlings now, and the glove I use a 11.5. I use Profiferd and then a Rev1X, which I'm starting to get kind of used to it, but I've always used a Profiferd. And I actually have, actually here, hold on. I got a glove right now.
All right.
All right. This is one of my gloves. This is a Heart of the Hod. This is a glove I used to use in high school. It's 11.5. I like the colors. I really like it.
The teal.
PGS teal and tan, which I like. But then my bat, I use a 33.5, drop three. Old Hickory. I swing Old Hickory, signed with them. So I swing the Nolan Arenado model and then the Andrew McCutchen model.
Okay. What's the difference between, you know, I think you mentioned earlier that you swung a Rawlings bat versus an Old Hickory bat. Do you see the difference?
Yeah. So I like Old Hickory just because that's what I'm most comfortable with. I swing the Arenado, which is a little bit more like inloaded, and then the McCutchen is a little bit more balanced.
Okay.
But the Rawlings bat I swung last year was like, it was a Corey Seager model, and the barrel was like literally like this big. The barrel might have been like this big, but once you hit it on the barrel, it flew, flew. And I that's the one I used, just because I like the color of it. I love that. It was the teal. It was teal.
Okay.
But the Old Hickories I use now, I like the feel of the barrel. I like the handle a lot. So those are kind of what I'm swinging now.
Cool. And then what motivates you to keep working hard with all the ups and downs?
I think definitely, you know, a big part of it is my family, just my dad, kind of, you know, he put all this work in. So I think it's fair that I put the work, you know, equally back into it. But also the fans and, the kids, like knowing that they're watching me, and they're trying to kind of do the same thing I am, and my little brother, especially, he watches kind of everything I do. So it motivates me to, you know, keep working hard so he can do the same thing, and he can end up passing that back down and passing that down. Like, I just want to impact everyone, like, kind of watching.
Absolutely. And then walk-off homer or a game-saving robbery in the field?
Oh, walk-off homer. That's like not even – that was my goal in high school. I could not do it. Like, I would have – I had three chances. One of them, I had a walk-off single in the middle, which I was so frustrated with. It was our last home game. Another one, I hit like a walk-off like ball like to right field, which was – that's the one I was mad at, because I was like, it was the same like spot. And the other one, I popped up to third.
Okay. Popped up to third. Yeah. I'm sure you'll get one of those at some point.
Yeah, that's my goal. That'd be sick.
And then let's see here. What's your favorite piece of Mariners gear that you've gotten so far?
I have a bomber jacket.
Okay.
I didn't even have to think about that. I have a bomber jacket. It's actually right there. Okay. It's like a cream bomber jacket. It says Mariners on the back. I think it's 1972. Has a patch on the side.
Is that with the trident?
Yeah. And I got it from... I got it from the shop when I was there, and I wore it to the game that night. And that when they introduced us on like the Jumbotron, I wore it to the game, and that was pretty cool.
So I guess that leads me to another question. Being in a packed T-Mobile Park, what was that experience to be like?
It was crazy, because like everywhere I went, like people kind of knew why I was there. So like I would go to the bathroom, and they would just be like, "Whoa, like yo, congratulations!" We're like, how did you know I did? Like, they didn't even like introduce me yet, but they kind of knew. So it's like the Mariners fans are really like Mariners fans. Like, these guys like are all go like all out Mariners, all out Seattle teams. So like, I love that. I love like loyal fans.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a passionate sports town, passionate city, especially for baseball with, you know, the team that they have up there right now, and seeing some winning, it definitely helps.
Right.
What's your favorite jersey number and why?
I've always worn 7.
Okay.
I've worn 7 since I was like 2 years old. And I don't know why. I think I've just always worn it. My mom gave it to me when I was like 2. So from there, every team I played, like every like growing up, I've always been number 7. Yeah.
Cool. Right on. And then a couple of your friends submitted questions. I think they're your friends. They wanted me to ask if you're hopping on Fortnite tonight, and then I think it was Owen asked why you never revive him.
because Owen chooses to test me every time we play. So and if Owen is watching this, I will not revive you, and I will make sure that Frank knows. Frank is his dad, and I'll make sure Frank knows that I will not revive you, and I will not be hopping on tonight. I'm playing GTA.
There you go. Right on. What's your Twitch handle, Instagram handle, YouTube?
Yeah, so my Twitch is just my name, Ty Pete, like all lowercases. And YouTube is also just Ty Pete. And then Instagram is Ty _Pete. Yeah. So those are all my stuff. But I try to stream as much as I can. But sometimes I'm just like, like, it's too late to even start a stream where it's just like, I don't even know what to play anymore. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it just because the same people are coming back. And then when different people come back or when different people come in, they ask questions that, you know, like the same people that have been in it, I've heard like hundreds of times.
Yeah.
But I'll always like answer questions that people come in with just because, you know, I enjoy these type of things. I enjoy these podcasts. Like I enjoy answering all sorts of questions for fans just because if they want to know, like, I don't want to leave them hanging like with the question they have. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then last question to wrap it up, Ty Pete off the field, you know, we hear that you stream, you play golf. Is there anything else that you haven't mentioned that you like to do off the field to, you know, take some downtime?
Yeah, so I'm a big bowler. Like me, okay. So for me, it's like if I start doing something, I'm gonna like go all in for it. So like when I started going and like I got really I'm a huge sneakerhead too. So like I got like right here, I have like all of my shoes laid out, and then everything ping pong. Like me and my dad played ping pong. I think one night we played like maybe 40, 50 games to 21. So we're like competitive, and he's like better than me at everything. Like he's like this much better than me at every single thing we do. So like bowling, we'll go first game, he'll bowl like a 210. I'll bowl like 188, and I'm like, all right, bro. So, but for Christmas, I bought me, my brother, and him all like custom bowling balls.
Awesome.
And we've bowled like unbelievable amounts of bowling in the past couple of weeks. But I'm huge into every hobby. You know, kind of like everything except like outdoor stuff. That's not me. That's my brother. That's not me. Like fishing, hunting, stuff like that. No.
Yeah.
I don't want my hands dirty. Nothing. But other things like racing games, driving, stuff like that. Like I'm big into every hobbies. But I kind of enjoy it all.
What's your highest bowling game?
205.
Solid. There you go.
205 is my highest. That's I had a turkey to end it off, turkey to start it. So I was feeling good that game.
I'm sure you've seen that Mookie Betts is a big bowler and he has like multiple 300s.
Yes, and he's like good at everything. That's he's literally like
in tournaments. Yeah.
I don't get how he does it. And like Steph and golf, like all these guys, it's crazy. I'm just like, how could you even be that good at like golf? How do you have time to do that? Especially him. I don't understand how he has that much time to do that. Like me, like I have a lot of downtime. But like he has so much stuff on his plate and stuff. Like I'm like, but I'm trying to get good at golf. I'm going golf tomorrow and Saturday.
There you go.
So I'm ready.
Yeah, you keep at it, you'll break 80 at some point, compete
That's
with your buddy.
One thing I want to do. I have 83 is my best. So and I told myself if I break 80, I'll buy myself a Scotty Cameron putter.
There you go.
A Scotty Cameron putty, you're not good enough. I'm not good enough for it.
That's awesome. And then regarding ping pong, I've heard that the clubhouse in Arizona for spring training, that there's a ping pong set up there once you get to that point.
There is.
I heard it's really competitive.
It's unbelievably like Lazaro Montes, he is like good, like dirty good. I'm going to start bringing my own paddle. Like I'm not using their paddle. I have to be at my home setup to be good. You know, like it's like a certain thing. Like I played so many games on my ping pong table that if I go to a different one, it just feels weird. But I'm bringing my paddle next kind of year. And I'm going to go all out on, I'm going to call out Lachi too. I'm going to call him out.
There you go. Yeah. Come in with your paddle and your briefcase and
I'm bringing my own table.
Yeah. There you go. Have it shipped in.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Appreciate your time today, Ty. Great conversation. I'll make sure to put all your social medias down below so that everyone can follow you.
Of course.
Again, thank you for your time. Looking forward to seeing you progress next year and best of luck.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.